Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Proverbs 31 Women podcast. We are on our second recording for Table for One series. I'm so happy that you guys have been loving the first episode of this series, and I'm excited to come back with more content. So before I start, normally I usually give you guys an update of what's going on with me, but today I want to switch it up and I want to pray us in and just ask God to speak and move in ways that we didn't think were possible, or in a word that is in season for all of you that need to hear this and that have been praying for God to speak to you. I hope that this does. So without further ado, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for what you have done in this series through this podcast. I just pray that you would speak to whoever is listening right now, that they would see this as something that is vital and in its words of life that are just reminding them of their worth, reminding them of why they are waiting, why they are saving themselves for something better. That, Lord, we don't want to be women that settle for a replica, but we want to discover more of who you are in us. And we want to just love on you, God, in this season. And even for the rest of the seasons to come in our lives, that even when we do get in a relationship, we want to keep you first place, that we want to keep you the center of everything that we do and all that we are. And God, I just pray that you would guide me on how to dissect this part of scripture, that, Lord, you would just use the words that I have to say to reflect you and to honor you. God, I pray that, Lord, I wouldn't do this in vain, but I would be obedient as your servant. And I just pray that we would enjoy this time, in Jesus' name. As I am recording myself, it is, you know, a gloomy Tuesday. I have my Bible open, I have my cup of coffee, and my computer, which has my notes on it. And it is the most quiet time of the day because no one is in my house with me. Usually, you can hear like doors slamming in the background or someone asking me a question. Or last time I tried to record for this podcast, my dog was throwing up, so I had to clean that up. Not so glamorous, but I wanted to tell you guys where I'm at and kind of the ambiance, because I want it to feel like you guys are sitting at the table with me. It's so funny because it is table for one, because I'm literally by myself, and I want you guys to feel like you're with me. So I pulled up some chairs for you. Anyways, cheesy, but just roll with me. The text for today is Ruth, chapter 1. This is one of, like, the most beautiful love stories in the whole Bible. And as I was brainstorming about this podcast, I was like, Lord, I want something that is so, something that honors you and something that is in season. Because with this podcast, I don't want to just say meaningless things, words that would go void, but I want it to land on good ground, because I want to be so confident in the fact that this is what God wants to say. So we are going to start in Ruth chapter 1. A little backstory about this: if you aren't familiar with the book of Ruth, it is in the Old Testament right after Judges. And Ruth is a short book in the Bible. It's only four chapters. Yeah, it's only four chapters long, and we're going to be starting with the first chapter of it. So I don't want to read, obviously, the whole book. I kind of want to break it down, because I feel like when we, like, zoom in on a particular chapter, we can really bring out some details that we haven't noticed before, like, versus if we would read the whole thing. I really want us to focus on Ruth before she met Boaz. That is what we're going to be talking about in this podcast episode. So Ruth was an amazing woman of God, but she didn't always start off like that. And why? We're going to find out. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephries, because I don't know how to pronounce that, from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, and the other Ruth. I promise I am a literacy teacher at Boys and Girls Club. Don't judge me. After they had lived there for about 10 years. Oh, wait, I skipped a line. The others Lord, I pray that you would help me to be able to communicate this with effectiveness and ease. Okay. I'm ready. So, Naomi's daughter-in-laws were two Moabite women named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Pause. So, you know how I said that Ruth wasn't always a woman of God? This is why. She came from a Moab, which it wasn't, I don't want to say Sodom and Gomorrah-ish, but it wasn't the place where most Jews and people that wanted to live for the Lord technically lived. It was a land where there was many gods, and it wasn't, I guess, a place where you would think virtuous women would live. Moabites were looked down upon by Jews and weren't seen as worthy. So this is where Ruth is coming from. So we're introduced to Naomi, we're introduced to Ruth, and we're introduced to Orpah. Now, these are three critical women that we are going to be looking at. And Naomi is their mother-in-law. So Naomi just lost her husband and her two sons. And Ruth and Orpah just lost their husbands. So a little recap. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods." See? Reference of Moabites believe in multiple gods. Okay, back to the story. "Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me. Okay. Be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women explained, "Can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Okay, I know that was a long chapter, but I had to lay the foundation of this text, or the, for lack of a better words, the meat and potatoes of this podcast episode. So we learn a lot of things in this first chapter. We learn where Ruth comes from. We learn that she had the chance to go back to her old life, but she's choosing to be obedient to her convictions and what God has impressed on her heart. And she notices something different about Naomi's life and how she wants something more than just the gods that she has had in Moab. She wants something else, and that is Naomi's God, which is our God. So anyways, we look at Ruth and Orpah and Naomi, and I want to take a look at the differences between all of them, because I think it's a vital lesson in learning the obedience of God. So we learn that Orpah decides to go back to her, her land. And at first, she wants to go with Naomi, but she decides to take the more convenient route. Naomi is trying to reason with Ruth and telling her, you really don't, there's no hope for you. You probably won't get married because I cannot have another son. And even if I did, would you even wait for him? So there's kind of like that push and pull, like I would love for you to go with me, but I'm telling you, you're young, live your life, go back to what you're familiar with. And Ruth is like, no, I want something more. She's longing for the Ephesians 3:20, there is more that we have. She wants something that is beyond her capacity of her dreams. She wants to see what else is in store for her. Now, Naomi, she goes back to her godly home, but we notice that instead of pressing onward and looking for a change, Naomi is wrapped up in resentment and bitterness instead of being obedient to the Lord. Okay, now it's time for application. So how can we relate to Naomi and Ruth? And Orpah, okay, because those are the three women that we are going to be looking at. So my question is, are you Orpah? Did you face a particular hard season in your life and you decide to go back to the old style, the old life that you've had before Christ? You picked the convenient route. So in relating this to purity, you know, have you had a difficult, let me think about this. Have you had a godly relationship that you thought was the one? You thought this person was the one, and come to find out this wasn't the one that God has had for you because you guys are moving in different directions. So instead of evolving in your singleness and growing and waiting for the right person God has for you, you decide to take the convenient route and find another person for you. But it's a replica. It's not the real deal. But you're hoping it is because you want convenience. Or are you Naomi? Has something tragic in your life happened and you blame God for it? You blame everyone in your path, and you are so wrapped up in resentment and bitterness that you fail to see what lies ahead of you. So you put a new label on yourself as bitter. Maybe someone took advantage of you, and you have
They have taken the precious gift that God wanted you to save for marriage. And you are bitter towards them, and you are hurt, and you have every right to feel hurt right now. You have every right to feel sad and feel broken. But that's when God comes in. That's when God's love comes in. If you are feeling like a Naomi right now, know that there is forgiveness. It says in God's word that nothing can separate us from God's love. And it says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If you have lost your virginity or someone has taken advantage of you, know that there's restoration and peace of who God is and what he can do in your life. That he can restore anything and he loves you. But you have to take the first step in identifying what is holding you back from receiving that love. Because you have to ask yourself, do I identify myself like Naomi? Do I wear the crown of bitterness and resentment? Or are you Ruth? Are you leaving behind the hurt and the pain and you're looking onward to something new because you want to grow? Even if it involves a really hard change, even if it involves not being making the most popular decision. Because Orpah decided to take the convenient route. She decided to go back to what was familiar. And Naomi could have went with her. But she decided to long for something else. Ruth decided not to awaken love until the time is right. And the next chapter is the start of this beautiful love story with Boaz. And it's showing that if you place your life in God's hands, more is going to come. Beautiful and bigger dreams are going to happen. But I need you to identify yourself. I need you to identify yourself as someone that maybe you are broken right now, but what can you do to move onward and to go towards the change God has for you and the beautiful newness? Or are you going to resort to convenience, the replica? Or are you going to be bitter and be resentful? I challenge you, ladies. We need to live a life of purity. But the first thing that we have to do is identify what is something that is happening within us that is preventing us from moving forward. We need to be all that God's called us to be, but we need to allow him to heal our hearts first. That's where the real restoration begins. I know this is a lengthy podcast episode, but I wanted this to be so fruitful for you guys. I want you to know that you're loved, that if you have been struggling with bitterness, with resentment, that know that you don't have to carry that anymore, that you can release it in the name of Jesus, that this is not going to bind you anymore, that you are forgiven and you can move forward. I love you all. I will see you in the next episode. Bye.